after having experimented a bit with mudita joy and empathetic or sympathetic joy, I want to reflect a little bit about joy, particularly in this time period, because I think what I have noticed through the years of teaching mudita in a variety of different circumstances and different retreats and to different groups of people and talking about it with family and this and that, is that it's one of the more difficult of the Brahma Viharas in our particular culture. You know, it seems like it's easier, and I'm basically talking about American culture. It seems to me that it's easier in American culture to be compassionate. You know, it's not that we always know what compassion actually is, but it's something that is more valued in the culture than mudita is. And what I'm speaking about right now is mudita as having joy for the joys of others, feeling happy because other people are doing well or have what you want or you know, kind of feeling good about things. And especially when we look at social media, the degree of competitiveness and comparing and all of that, it makes people feel worse and worse and worse. They might have gone on feeling pretty good, and then at a certain point, just getting really depressed about things. It's not an easy thing in this culture of individualism, where almost it's competitive happiness. You know, almost there's something competitive even around our happiness. And I'm wondering if that will change in this time period. And I don't know, of course, we don't know what's going to happen and how things will change, but I wonder whether it will change in any way. I'm wondering if it might be a little bit easier for us to feel happy about what others have. You know, if we might end up feeling or are in the process of feeling more gratitude for what we already do have and awareness of what is good in our lives and more appreciation for what we have. I wonder whether feeling a little bit more full within ourselves will make it easier to, or less deprived within ourselves because of more gratitude and appreciation, will make it easier to have that free flow of appreciation and joy when we relate to others, to what others have or are engaged in. You know, it could possibly soften the high degree of competitiveness and comparing that's so habitual. And I also wonder, just not taking anything for granted. And, you know, of course, we're in a time when perhaps we're more aware of not wanting to take anything for granted. Maybe we're even more aware than we were before of transience, of change, of everything being impermanent and changing. And so perhaps because of that, there will be more of a cherishing. And because of that cherishing, more of a sense of not wanting to take anything, this life, our dear ones, what we might see, the bird that somebody spoke about this morning chirping outside, yeah, maybe things like this, not taking anything for granted. And so because of that, more joy in our own hearts, and so easier to feel joy in general, joy within our own hearts and joy in relationship to others. Some of you are probably familiar with this a Japanese concept called wabi-sabi. I think it has been popular in some areas and something that some people know about. And what it means is finding the beauty in that which is transient. It means finding the lovely in the moment. Not everything having to be perfect and our joy based on really kind of ridiculous ideas of perfection. You know, demanding that perfection from ourselves and from others, which completely thwarts joy. Joy is not possible if we're trying to be perfect. And if we are always hoping that others will get perfect, even if we can't be, maybe that would be better if at least others could pull it off. Maybe that would be a good thing. So this idea of in the moment being able to appreciate moments of loveliness within the transient, within the imperfect. I was thinking of this wonderful William Blake poem, that little poem that I'm sure you have heard. He who binds to himself a joy does the winged life destroy, the winged life, the free life, the here life destroy. But he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. You know, it's kind of like that, the momentary joy. Because of things being the way they are in the moment, of course, we're looking for an objectless joy, not joy because of anything, not joy because of conditions. And at the same time, joy because of conditions, joy because of in the moment, there is gratitude, there is appreciation, there is awareness of the lovely. Now, I've also been reflecting on the possibility that mudita will get harder. It will shift and get even harder than it is now. There does seem to be somewhat of a feeling that I've picked up from some people, from some yogis, from some practitioners, that we're not supposed to be joyful right now. That there's something unseemly about joy. When we are so aware of the immensity of suffering, the immensity of sorrow happening to so many right now. So something almost unseemly about it, or kind of, I used the word superficial last night, you know, it doesn't really meet the moment to be joyful. So maybe for some it will get harder to feel joy, to know joy. Joy is inevitable on this path. One cannot avoid it. You know, there is that reality. There is that fact. It cannot be repressed. As we go deeper and deeper into the practice, into the Dharma, there is an irrepressible joy that begins to bubble up and be sustained. So even if we don't want it to be, here it is. Here it is. And it can be respite. You know, some people talk about joy as a form of resistance, to be joyful when it seems that there should not be any more joy, because of loss and devastation. Joy nonetheless. I've really, during this period of time for myself, I've really resisted talking about, or even internally talking about, what some people call the silver lining of what we're going through, or the upside of what we're going through. And for me, it doesn't really work to reflect in that way and to speak about it in that way. And it's I'm just offering this to you. I'm not at all saying that you should not by any means. But there's some way in which I'm resisting it because I really want to join in the humanity of this. I really want to align with whatever is happening within me and in this wide world. And at the same time, it pokes its way up. Of course, we are learning during this time. Of course, we are seeing in ways that we have not seen before. Of course, as practitioners, there's a profound invitation happening right now. Of course, even when we look at something like climate change, maybe something can turn itself around because things are the way that they are. I don't want to sound hopeful about that possibility. And we don't know what is going to emerge out of this. So of course, there will be, as there always is in life, wonderful things occurring alongside of the painful, alongside of the difficult. The joy that emerges out of practice is not at all superficial. It is not a joy that pretends or denies that things are not as bad as they are when they are sorrowful, when they are painful. And cultures that have experienced great oppression, you can see a joy. When I was in Cuba a number of years ago teaching, within all of the limitations and limitations regarding even whether people could get enough food to eat. So as we know, not luxurious limitations, but really just people not being, knowing whether they could feed themselves or not. The joy that I had heard about before I went was really real. For those of you who have traveled there, maybe you know what I mean. I was privileged to work with a group of meditators, which is always different. And so I was really in touch with their joy. And in the culture at large, there was so much joy. So sometimes in the midst of the difficult, we can connect with the joy that refuses to be repressed. Camus once talked about a happiness that forgets nothing. I really love this. I really appreciate this. I'm passing it on to you. It's saying that we are not forgetting anything. We are not forgetting the painful. We are not forgetting the horrors. We are not forgetting the terrible. We are not forgetting the suffering. And there is happiness nonetheless. This is Dharma happiness. This is genuine happiness. And the Buddha spoke about in the midst of, and I want to read you something quite beautiful that speaks to this, just a very short sutta. He said, "Live in love, even among those who hate. Live in joy, in health, even among the afflicted. Live in joy, in peace, even among the troubled. Look within, be still, free from fear and attachment. Know the sweet joy of the way." These are instructions. It's not just friendly advice. It's not just you can do this or not. To be a genuine, authentic practitioner of the Great Way, looking into this mystery of birth and death, we have to include this Brahmavihara and not negate it, not think that simply metta and compassion and equanimity are applicable right now, and that joy is left out, is not. It's as essential as the rest of the Brahmaviharas are. There can be joy because of an object, because of the sound of a bird, because of the smile of a loved one, because of what we are making contact with. And joy can also be without an object, boundless and unconditional, just as is so for the other Brahmaviharas. Not having to do with conditions, not having to do with how things are, existent of its own accord. This we can tap into, not I am joyful because things are going well, because of one of the worldly winds of being praised or getting what we want or being successful or being visible, but simply existent on its own within our hearts. There are different ways to nourish this heart joy. One is indeed sympathetic joy, which means that the practice of sensing or feeling or connecting with the joys of others is a way to find inner joy as well. You know, I was saying before that when we feel deprived, it's really hard for us to feel joyful about the joys of others, and it can be. But the other side of this is that if we can kind of take a risk and dare and kind of rev up or work with the phrases and send joy to other people who are in good situations right now, whatever that situation might be, in good situations, this is something that brings joy to our own hearts as well. To praise the beautiful is a way to bring joy, to understand joy within one's own heart, to praise people who are doing the right thing, to praise people who are being kind to one another right now, even in the midst of their own difficult circumstances, being kind to one another. Yeah, this brings joy to our own hearts, to be really, really generous with our praise, to really appreciate those who are acting or speaking or even simply, and it's not just simply because intentionality is so important, people who have the intention to sustain loving kindness and compassion during this quite discombobulated time. And generosity and gratitude, these are ways that joy emerges spontaneously within our hearts.